So I want to say, like, you know, part of this weekend, a lot of the cool things about it was getting to watch people who were, you know, I've sat through 5 or 6 of these all weekend big book studies, but it's always been the 2 same people sitting up here all weekend long. Part of the idea of doing this was to kind of mix things up, kind of keep it fresh. You're not listening to the same perspective all weekend long. And I think the coolest thing for myself and probably several other people here was, like, you know, when I was still shooting dope and I was in jail, like, this guy was the guy that was the only person that was answering my phone calls. And when I got out of treatment, he helped me get to treatment. He helped me took me to the place that he went. He, you know, like, he is a living, breathing example of what this program has to offer. And it's been cool to see. He also had the opportunity to sit up here with one of his mentors, and it's just been like a super magical experience for a lot of us. And, you know, we really appreciate all of you guys being here for us. I know a lot of you, like we've been talking about, are forced to be here. But the people that have made the best of it, we really appreciate it. And it was a weekend like this that I fell in love with Alcoholics Anonymous and the solution. And that flame, it has dwindled at times, but it's never gone out, and it always resurges. It always comes back. And, you know, because at the end of the day, like, we're dealing with people's lives here. We're dealing with drug addiction and alcoholism that is cunning, baffling, and powerful. It will kill you. You know, and but with that, I'm going to turn you over to Mr. Scarborough.
Cool. I'm Brandon. I'm a drug addict. So absolutely appreciate, man, some of y'all have been troopers all weekend. Maybe not by choice, but you've been here, and we've had woo, that's wrong. Woo, hell yeah, we got 35 minutes. We going home, baby. But really, man, I really, really appreciate all the sober living folks just hung out, and not just hung out, but paid attention, wrote notes. If we've only planted seeds, man, that's awesome. Because if there's a couple folks that might get excited about doing this work, might get excited about sponsorship, what we're about to talk about, and carrying the message and working with others and attempting to practice these principles in all our affairs, dude, it's worth every minute of it. It's absolutely worth it. The recording can't see it. I'm pointing at the guy beside me. This is amazing. This is absolutely phenomenal. I watched this shithead come through Sober Man Living. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Nothing to do with the steps, with God, with anything outside of women. And just goofing off. I mean, it's the truth. And wow, what a transformation. And part of, we are going to, like, pray for, like, or take a few minutes of silence, but part of what I've experienced in sponsorship is that I don't draw hard and fast lines on how I carry the message to different people. Because if I'd have said, you didn't do what I said, so F you, we wouldn't have worked together. I wouldn't have talked to him in jail. That wouldn't have happened. That just wouldn't have been a thing, because he failed so many times with other attempts at it. And it was like God was saying, nah, stay. Nah, stay. Answer the phone as much as you don't want to. Stay. And then God opened the door up for him. I actually worked with his mom, like the big book says, got involved with the family and helped make a educated decision and help her walk her through the process of getting him through jail as much as he wanted me to beg her to get him out. And God uses this and places him in a place where he could actually receive this message, that they carry this message not watered down, and they're bringing the truth, and he experienced it and experienced God. So this is a result. This is the experience of sponsorship right here that I've had that makes it so worth it. And the experience, and he's not easy to deal with sometimes, but, you know, it's phenomenal. It's become like a brother relationship, a family relationship, much deeper than the majority of friendships I ever had outside of doing this kind of stuff. So it's pretty phenomenal how this works. Let's take 2 minutes. We ain't gonna do a long one, and we're not gonna try and talk for a full. We're just gonna talk till we're done, man. Like, y'all done well. we've had a cool experience, so let's wrap this guy up, give you some of our experience with carrying the message, and we're gonna shut it down. So 2 minutes, I'll say a little prayer, and we'll keep going.
I'll go to the bridges. I'll use again. I'll go to the bridges.
Yeah. God, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the people in the room. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the message that's been carried through all the different participants in this weekend. I ask that you'll continue to speak through me and Miles. I ask that you'll give us your words, and I ask that you'll open up the minds of the people that you'd have hear these words, and maybe that they might get excited about sponsorship and carrying this message. We thank you for all the gifts of sobriety, our health, our families, and all the blessings in our life. Amen. So I want to start out. We tried to carry this message to other alcoholics and drug addicts and practice these principles in all our affairs. This was never an optional thing for me. I, at the Bridges of Hope, I got connected to this power early on. I had an experience with God early on, and like Hallie talked about, I got lit up with the idea and the experience of talking about this stuff with other people. I did. I knew it, that it was meant for me. I knew that it was just, I was driven. It was not choice. I was driven by this power to want to carry what I had been given. Like, the gratitude that I experienced through God and feeling the way I felt and being relieved, like, it was not, there was no question. I was carrying the message before I was sponsoring people, because I had an experience, the obsession had been lifted. I'd worked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, made 2 like half-ass amends on past because no one had taught me, but I did it. And I started working 10, you know, I was spending time in prayer and meditation. I was lit up. I wanted people to hear about what I had been experiencing. So I made it my mission to seek these folks. These new little guys would come in, and instead of like dicking off on the porch of the dorms and smoking cigarettes and telling war stories, I was over there talking to this little dude that just came in. You know, asking him, why he was telling him that the goal of him being there was to have an experience with God, because that's what the man that mentored me while I was there, mentored me the most, told me that I should be telling people. And I started sharing with him about how I'd went through 1, 2, and 3, however it was, however I was taught, that was the experience I had. So it was, this fire was given to me as a result of working this deal. Beyond that, though, it's still not optional if I'm intending to work all 12 steps. Sponsorship is not an optional deal for me, nor is it optional if I'm trying to do what's suggested of me. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you, they hit on it over and over and over and over and over and over why this is so vital. I'm going to talk about the circle and the triangle. People that's been around me, this had groups with me, we talk about this. There's three parts to permanent sobriety that I've been taught, and I've experienced it thus far. Like, I don't want one day at a time sobriety. I want to be well. I don't want to come and be in your seat. I want to be in this seat, talking about the power of God and carrying this message to people. I ain't trying to be miserable and treat me again. So I'm going to try to do what's been taught to me to how I maintain this. Number one, I stay connected to a home group, to the fellowship. I get a service position, and I have the unity piece. Circle and triangle, one third is unity. I'm connected to the fellowship. I've got four or five dudes that know all the weird shit. They know how I feel. They know what I think. They know when I'm off. I send my inventory to five different people every morning because I don't do it at night. I'm not perfect, but I do it in the morning. I do my nightly review in the morning, and I send this. These people know me. I got to be connected to you, one third of it. Got to be. The other part, recovery. I got to stay in the midst of working these steps. I got to stay entrenched in 10 and 11. You know, I like to go through a set of steps a year. That's been my experience. It's just what I've done. I've done it differently every time, which is part of my experience with sponsorship. I don't sponsor the same people the same way. I've yet to sponsor two people the same identical way. It doesn't happen because it's never the same. Life is never the same, and no two people are never the same. That's why prayer, meditation, intuitive thought, God revealed to me what the best approach is for this person. What's your will for this person? Some people, I'm going to run them 1, 2, and 3 in one sitting. Some people, we're grinding. But I stay connected. That's unity, recovery. That's two-thirds. I stay in the steps. And then the last third, third part, service. Treats my spirit, sponsorship, man. Carrying this message to other people. And if I'm missing one of these three things, chances are I don't know. Since I worked my first full set of steps, I haven't got high. Imagine that. I committed. Tarek talked about it. I committed, and you may have heard some things that your sponsor doesn't tell you to do that we've talked about this weekend. I don't give a shit. Doesn't matter. If you're committed to it, the experience happens. That was my experience. I did not do the steps the first time the way I do them now. It's become a deeper thing, and I've taken from different people, and I've had different experiences. Do it. That's how we stay well. We do it. And I can carry the message different to different people. So why do I do this? That's why. I want permanent sobriety, or not the only reason I do it, but that's one reason. If I want to stay in the midst of this circle, this triangle, and I want permanent sobriety, like, I need to carry the message. And how selfish of me to not. When all these folks spent this time with my goofy ass, and one sponsor, my first sponsor outside of the Bridges, some of y'all know him. I won't say his name, but either way, I will say his name because it's not, I'm not Hector. I won't say his last name. Any of y'all that know Hector, you know Hector. And if you don't, you don't. Hector took me through the book line by line outside of when I first got out of the Bridges of Hope. This man didn't chase me. This man never made an appointment with me. But damn, every time I wanted to meet, and he left it on me. He said, "Hey, buddy, you let me know, call me." Hey, man, I called. If he didn't answer, he called me back. Hey, man, I can meet. It was on me to seek this fella because he had what I wanted. He had 7 years of sobriety, and he had an experience with this book that I had an experience through the Bridges with what I was given, and I got well, and the obsession was removed, but I was told I needed to get a sponsor outside of treatment and rework the steps, and this man was willing to do it, so I got to seek this dude. I got to go after this guy. You know, it is on me as a sponsee, and it's on you as a sponsee. Chase these folks like they got dope. You chase a dope man real hard. I wait on this bitch for 10 hours. I'm waiting on this cat for 2 days. I don't care. Like, I'm going to wait. I'm going to do what I got to do to get what the fella that's got the drugs, right? come in, and all of a sudden, like, who said it? Like, all of a sudden, I'm a mad dog, and I'm a super J. Oh, bad. Oh, buddy, I'm bad slinging dope, killing it. Oh, you want me to wait? Oh, you missed my call? Oh, fuck him. No, man, get out of here. Like, I'd called a man 20 times, and if he didn't answer, I'm calling somebody else. I'm chasing these folks. I need what they got. And that's a new experience and a way to stay connected, to teach me how to do this. The first guy that took me through, we read line by line the first time at the Bridges. I worked 1, 2, and 3 by being told to read the first 63 pages of the Big Book and the first three steps in the 12 and 12 twice, and then I sat down and had a conversation. Both worked. Right? Both worked. Like,
effect was produced.
Effect was produced. I was committed. Didn't matter what they told me to do. Majority of it I was willing to do. I don't recall like certain things I was super unwilling to do, but I'm sharing you the experience that I had with sponsors. Like, this is how people sponsor me, therefore I'm carrying this out there, and I want you to understand that if you hear people do things differently, as I've done this before, I've questioned the way I sponsor people. Am I doing it right? Am I doing it right? You're never going to think you're good enough to do it right at first. By the way, you're going to feel
incompetent.
I felt incompetent. I felt like I wasn't ready, but I was willing. I was so willing. I was excited when I was told I could raise my hand in a meeting. I couldn't wait for that shit. I was like, yeah, I'll sponsor you. Yeah, I'll sponsor my buddy. I got a couple of folks in here that were some of my first sponsees. We went through the steps a lot different than I go through now. And one of them, we did a fifth step for 5 weeks in a row, I think. We and this cat sat for a couple of hours for like 5 or 6 weeks in a row. And to watch them, you know, they didn't stay sober after a while. They did in the beginning. They didn't stay sober. That's no bearing on me, man. I'm still sober, and now they're still they're sober again. And they take from that experience and what we had at that time, and then they're going to carry it into their experience with guys that they sponsor. So this thing is cool. It's not optional. There's a lot of places in the book that hit on this. If you want to chime in on this, if not, we'll start talking about the
book. Sure. So I was thinking about a couple things. You know, we hear a lot of things in meetings and stuff like that. And, you know, the recovery aspect of this portion of the triangle that he was just talking about has absolutely nothing to do with meetings. Meetings is part of the unity, part of the fellowship, part of that experience. And I feel like that was important to say. I don't know why. But you know, up until I started working steps, or like the way we did it where I went to treatment is after you finish the steps, you start to do one-on-ones with people, which is 1, 2, and 3. You start to go through the book with them, and then you start to hear fifth steps with them. I never experienced a relationship with God until after I started sponsoring people. Hmm. I never, like a lot of people I have, you know, they had this magical experience after they, you know, did the third step prayer, or did a fifth step, or made an amends. That shit was not there for me. Like, God, I whatever, you know, like, cool, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Like, I like the Big Book says, all you have to do is be willing to believe that there is a possibility. That was me. Like, I'd been around church. My brother was like, my parents didn't go to church, but my brother was like this weird, like, he would take me to these, like, really sketchy locations, and there'd be people speaking in tongues and playing with snakes, and that shit was terrifying. And so that was the only experience that I'd really had, besides like going to youth group a few times to hang out with some girl or play basketball or whatever when I was a kid. But no experience whatsoever with God. You know, I'd always seen these guys at youth camp. I would see these guys and these girls up at the front listening to the band at these church camps. And I could see the feelings that they were feeling. I could see the emotion that was pouring out of their body. And it looked cool, and I wanted to experience that. There have been two things that I have discovered that I can achieve that feeling. With anything put in a syringe and sponsoring other people. Mm. Those are the only two things that I've been able to achieve that feeling with. And I've always desired that feeling, and working with others produces that effect. Once I started working with others, I could hook up with a power greater than myself in other areas of my life. It came to me first through music, and then it came, or first through sponsor. Then it came to me through music. Then it came to me through just having a one-on-one conversation with someone that at a deeper level, not that surface bullshit that I was doing when I was getting high. The conversations about like the real shit that goes on in my head, the crazy shit that I think about sometimes, you know, and hearing another man like talk about his problems. Like there's something spiritual in nature about that for me. And I've been able to experience God in these other ways that I never thought was possible. And the only way that I was able to achieve it was working step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 12. Having that experience. Because it tells me on the first line of working with others that practical experience shows us that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Nothing. If you work with other people, there is a really good chance you're not going to get fucked up. Now, that's not to say that you cannot do other shit, but nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking or shooting dope or smoking crack as intensive work with other alcoholics.
Turn to page 14 in Bill's story. He starts to talk about this already here. And thank God Evie was willing to take it to Bill. You know, he showed up and told him, "Oh God, you know, check out what I've got. Let me share this with you." And then Bill had the experience, and then started seeking out other folks to give it to. And then came across Dr. Bob. I'm not a historian. I cannot tell you very, very minimal details about that. But I know it was some dude carried it to Bill, some other dude. He took it to somebody else, and a bunch of people are sober now because of this shit. So that's cool to me. I can get down with that. The bottom of page 14, this is Bill carrying the message and practicing the principles. Says, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came, is the second to last paragraph, while I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. Novel idea. My friend had emphasized, Abby, the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs, very difficult. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for this alcoholic. For if Brandon Scarborough fails to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, which means I have to sacrifice some stuff. This isn't convenient. I'm not excited every time I go meet with some dude. I don't feel like this every time I walk out the door. A lot of times, I may cringe. A lot of times, I may look at my phone and go, fuck, maybe he won't show up today. That's just the truth, man. Sometimes, it's tough to want to put aside. I've got a selfish nature. I'm still a human, you know. It becomes I'm engulfed in it. And at times, I'm like, gosh, you know, I would maybe not want to go meet with you. Hands down. 9 times out of 10, when I leave, I'm in a different space than when I showed up. I'm praying on the way, and then I sit with this cat, and we talk about God, and we talk about the steps, and we talk about what he's got going on, and we're looking at this because this is going to be there. I don't know how you do step work without the big book at this point in my life. Like, at one point in time, I may have thought that, but typically it's going to be with me, and he better have one too. And if you don't, you know, we'll have a conversation. Self-sacrifice for others. I have to do this. Let me read this again. And how appalling true for the alcoholic, for if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others. Not convenient. Brandon's not going to survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If Brandon doesn't work, he will surely drink again, and if he drinks, he will surely die. Then faith will be dead indeed. It is with us. It is just like that. you know, going through deaths, going through miscarriages, going through the struggles of life as it comes, I never stopped working with people. I never stopped, honestly, I never stopped praying and meditating. I haven't become complacent on sponsorship. I've stayed committed to a home group, but this sponsorship deal, like, it takes me out of me. As I'm there, holy crap, I'm a little more concerned about you at that time. And we're talking about God. And I'm experiencing relief at this point, and I'm experiencing peace at this point, and I might get to watch a transformation happen. And if I don't, okay, that's cool too, because I've had plenty of folks that I've come in to sponsor, and they don't get through all the steps. That's fine. Is that on me? No, absolutely not. I can't get you well, and I can't get you high. I can show up and do my job. I can come with this book and with an experience and with a relationship with God, and then I show up as the human. God shows up as God, and God's stuff happens. I don't have to make things happen. God's doing what God does. I'm just there as a vessel. I'm an agent, empowered to be an agent. How amazing. Like that blows my mind that I can commune with this creative intelligence that is literally like come up, like all of us are part of this thing. Like how mind-blowing is that if you can connect to that. And if you can't, keep going. You will. It's remarkable that I've been given this power. I'm actually empowered. I've actually been given power. And it's not of me. That's where people screw up. That's where I don't want to believe that I've done this. I'm working on behalf of this power. Therefore, I'm not powerless because I've been given power through the power. That's awesome. That's cool as hell to me.
So I'm going to read a couple of different promises to you, and I don't know. I was under the same impression for a long time that the promises were the promises of the ninth step.
There's a lot of
promises. The promises of AA.
The only ones.
But here's just
no more.
Here's just a couple, like, you know, and it's easy to like read over this stuff, but not like take in what it's saying. On page 15, Bill was kind of talking about his experience and, like, you know, after going through the steps. My wife and I abandoned ourselves with enthusiasm the idea of helping other alcoholics to a solution of their problems. It was fortunate for my old business associates remained skeptical for a year and a half, during which I found very little work. I was not too well at the time. I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink, but as soon as I found that when all other measures failed, working with another alcoholic would save the day. And then I'm going to skip down to the next paragraph, and this is kind of like so Bill is the guy, for people that don't know, the guy that wrote this whole book, and this is kind of what he talks about is his life, you know, afterwards. We commenced to make many fast friends, and a fellowship has grown up among us of which it is a wonderful thing to feel a part of. I've never felt a part of anything until I got to this place. The joy of living we really have, even under pressure and difficulties. I have seen hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Have seen the most impossible domestic situations righten. Feuds and bitterness of all sorts wiped out. I have seen men come out of asylums and resume a vital part in the lives of their families and communities. Businesses and professional men have regained their standing. There is scarcely any form of trouble and misery which has not been overcome. There's nothing that the power of this deal that we're in right now cannot be overcome if you do this stuff. In one Western city, let's go to the next sentence. This is why we continue to go to meetings, right? Bill tells us right here. Has nothing to do with meeting makers make it. Has nothing to do with, I'm going to go see that new cool chick that just got to the other sober living, so I'm going to go there. It has nothing to do with any of that other bullshit. It has to do with, we meet frequently so that the newcomer may find the fellowship they seek. That's it. We go there to carry the message. We go there for that purpose.
Once I'm recovered, that's my deal. That's why I'm in a meeting, not to tell you about my stupid day. That's a Chris Raymer line. I can't take credit for that, but I love it. I crack up when he talks about that. Man, if something's eating my lunch, And if something's eating your lunch and you need to drop it at a meet and drop it, but if I'm recovered, man, I'm there. I'm there to carry the message. Like, I'm there to tell you about the power of God and the steps. Like, ultimately, that's my deal. I've got a network, and I got a sponsor. And I got a lot of dudes that I can drop all my crap on, that where I don't have to get in there and have this new cat hear about my bullshit and not hear that there's a solution to his problem. Because there's somebody dying in there, and I'm talking about how crappy my day was. Get us, call your sponsor, please. Don't bring that in there when there's some dude dying. And if it's your home group, please get unclicked up, unclick yourself, and grab that guy that's shaking that don't know nobody. For the love of God, we show up, and everybody's in a huddle, and everybody knows everybody, and there's some dude over here that's on his phone dying for somebody to maybe interact with him, and he's terrified to look up, and there's all these assholes that know each other and ain't willing to go talk to him. Get over yourself. Get out of yourself. Go introduce yourself to these folks, man. Think about how terrible it was. I know for me, when I showed up to the Freedom Club my first couple of times, and I wasn't in the cool crowd, that sucked. I hated that. And I had a home group there for 3 years, man. Make it your mission. Make it your mission. Go out when you see somebody you ain't seen in that meeting. And if they tell you, I've been here, cool, great. I'm Brandon. Nice to meet you. Awesome. You've been sober for 5 years. Great, cool. Welcome. Glad you're here. Like, but if not, hey, do you have a sponsor? Hey, you know some guys. Are you new here? Are you in a program? Like, what's your deal? How long you been sober? I don't care. Talk to them. Find out what their deal is. Why are they there? What are they doing? You know, probe, ask questions. The more you do it, the more I did it, the easier it got. And now it's just like I'll get twirling around trying to talk to 10 different people. Like, there's a new guy. It's like, hey, go talk to him. Like, that's my deal as a recovered drug addict in these meetings. And then meetings aren't old, and meetings aren't boring, because you got something to do. You got a job. Go do something in this meeting instead of hear about everybody's shitty day or tell us about yours. I don't need to hear all that. I'm just kidding.
I digress. My experience, you know, I went to treatment 15 times from 17 to 21. I could never use for more than 90 days before my shit fell apart. Go to jail, end up in a psych ward. Somebody think I was trying to kill myself, whatever, that type of deal. And so, you know, I end up in this small town in South Georgia called Adel, Georgia. Ooh. And I go to a meeting, and there's this guy. Looks like he's about dead. He's been sober. So at the end of the meeting, he doesn't say anything the whole time. And he gets up at the end of the meeting when they're passing out chips. He picks up a blue one, and he said, this is 20 years, and I did it one day at a time, and the guy looked like he wanted to fucking blow his brains out. And if I saw that in that moment, and I said, if that's what 20 years looks like, I don't want a thing to do with this shit, because that looks terrible. I mean, like, what is this about? Like, is this about yes, sometimes we have to take things a moment at a time. Absolutely. I'm not saying that there aren't times where we have to slow down and live and now and breathe and experience the 11 step, stop, listen, pray, ask for guidance. Yes. But if I'm still living a day at a time when I'm 2 years sober, give me a gun and some bullets, because I want to blow my fucking brains out. Because that's not fun. This shit's fun. Mm. Like, and we're going to tell you about some other things, some other promises that you get to experience here in just a short second. Unless he has anything else on him, I'll go ahead and
run it.
Okay, so right after it says, practical experience shows us that nothing will so much ensure immunity from taking a drink as intensive works with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when all others fail. Not a therapist. not a doctor, but another alcoholic can secure that broken, empty alcoholic, because it's like a, it tells us in the doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth tells us that, you know, that what's the sentence that he uses about okay, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholics must have depth and weight. Depth and weight looks like me sitting at a treatment center in Kennesaw, Georgia, miserable and wanting to die, and having a guy like Brandon come in, share his experience with me, and I can tell, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt, he's not one of those other fucking head shrinkers that I've been dealing with for the last few years. He had experienced what I had experienced. Mm-hmm. He talked about it. He spoke my language. And I spoke his language, and we could hit it off. But seeing where he was, seeing the things that he had done with his life, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, this guy was at a trailer park in Augusta, Georgia, wearing a wife beater. You know what I mean? And here he is today. Like, what? Like, that is depth and weight. Like, there's not a better, you know, example. Because I know that he's, because like, when I get in a room full of me, I can have a conversation, and I can find out, oh, yeah, this person probably used drugs, but they didn't, and it's not like I'm better than you thing, it's just like, I can tell when I meet my kind. Like, this person was a slave to this substance. This person did everything. And when I meet that guy, there's nothing more I'm home than that. So, you can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill.
Sick.
Ooh.
Life will take... This is the promises. This is the first set of 12-step promises. Life will take on a new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others.
So that means you got sponsees now, too. And they got sponsees.
When they don't fire me.
Yeah, when they don't fire you.
To see them help others. To watch loneliness vanish. Since I was this high, I was lonely my whole entire life. My whole life, I felt lonely. And I could be in a room this full, 10 times more full, and just feel empty and lonely inside. And I get to experience what it feels like to not be lonely. To see a fellowship grow up about you. No friends. Not fucking one. This guy. He was the only person that was still talking to
me. And I didn't like him.
He didn't like me at all.
I was not a fan at all.
And now it's like, man.
I cuss when I hung that phone. I cuss at him on the phone.
Yeah. Get on there and go fucking get on your knees and pray to God. And I'm like, man, I don't think it's not a good idea to get on your knees around here.
You ain't had enough of pain.
Yeah, exactly. To see a fellowship grow up about, you know, people that I share an intimate relationship with, there's, you know, like, and when I say intimate, I mean like Bill knows just about everything about my life, and I know just about everything about his life. Same with Elrin. Same with Brandon. Same with, I don't see any other people in here, but there is, I mean, but to think not one per, you're not a friend. Well, you are a friend. So that's just a whole nother level. So to go from somebody that didn't have nobody in the world that would even fuck with me, to look at a room full of people and to see people that care about me. You know, there's a lot of other people in this room that I love and that I care about that don't know everything about me, you know. But I get to have that relationship with each of those people and to watch that fellowship grow up about me. To have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. Must not. You don't want to miss it. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Last night, after we sat in here for 10 hours and did this, me and several other people went out to a show downtown, and we had a blast. I didn't feel alone. I didn't feel empty. I had a blast. Drugs and alcohol were extremely present in our surroundings, but not a thought, because I was experiencing the promises, the safe and protected, the fellowship that I don't want to miss. The loneliness was completely absent. So I mean, it's this for me. Like, I get excited about this shit. Like, This is the reason that I do this shit. Is because I get to get amped up and I get to help somebody when I was useless. 2 years, 2.5 years ago, I was useless to everyone except for somebody that needed maybe a 20 sec because I wasn't carrying more than that at that point.
Some of my sponsorship experiences, again, with this guy, and I can tell you that I'll talk about him like he ain't here. I sponsored this guy named Miles, and I've seen him make a lot of mistakes in recovery, but the one thing that he stayed consistent with, that I can tell you, and I probably shared this a year ago, and I can tell you it's still the same today, is him carrying the message. That's that he was on fire for it when he came out of the bridges wanting to damn hit everybody in the face with the big book. With minimal experience with it, but he was out there willing, and he was running around like a crazy person, spouting this stuff, but he was out there, man, and he was doing it. He made a lot of mistakes in early recovery. He's still making mistakes, but he's also still sponsoring folks and helping people. That's one of the people that I've seen, you know, when all else fails, work with another alcoholic has worked. Like this guy beside me, it really has worked.
Thank you.
That he's still not. It's really a miracle that he's not high. So, I want to hit just a few things, and I don't want to grind y'all out too hard. First off, at my job as a sponsor is to get you connected spiritually, get you hooked up spiritually. That's my job, is to take you through the steps. Point blank, period. I ain't here to be your banker. I'm not going to micromanage your sex life. By the way, not my job. I'll give you suggestions.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Like, I battled with this guy. This guy taught me so much. Like, what I do and how I've experienced this does not have to be how everyone else does. I struggled and I sought to control these folks for so long. Man, let it go. Like, I'm going to give suggestions. Do it or don't. I'm not a big fire you guy. Because if I was, we wouldn't work together. And there's other people that you know, I got a guy that I've been working with. We've been working over a year. He's got almost 3 years or 2 to 3 years. He does all the things, but he was complacent as hell on this last set of steps. If I was a fire you guy, we're through the work now, and he's on fire. Like, that's not me. Now, do it how you want. Seek. You're never going to think you know what you're doing at first. Seek the help of your sponsor and other people around you in your network, man. I can tell you how I do it, but it changes. There's no hard, fast rules for me other than work the steps. And that's going to look a little different with each person. My job is to get you hooked up spiritually, get you hooked up, get you connected to a God. And a lot of times for somebody with very limited time, like, I want to do that quickly. If you've been through a set of steps and you're recovered and we're going back and we're looking deeper, we can grind it out. We can go through something ridiculous like this, like Jerry's doing. That just, like, this thing took me and Jimberg 11 months to do. We're still in it. I don't even want to talk about that. But, you know,
sometimes
we can...
Sometimes quickly,
sometimes slowly. But, you know, if I'm out here and I'm seeking guidance and I'm asking other people that know a little more than me, hey, I don't know what to do. I got to remain humble and acknowledge I don't know. I'm never going to know all the answers. If I think I know all the answers, buddy, I've missed something. I'm never going to know all the answers. That's not my job. It's relieving if I can connect to that and not have the delusion that I'm supposed to, which I absolutely have done and drove myself crazy. Why can't I tell them what to do? Oh, God, hey, man, why do I feel like I don't know shit? Well, maybe you don't know shit. Okay, that's fine. Like, that's okay to admit that. I rely on my mentors. I have mentors now at this stage of the game. Like, I'm a mentor to other people, and I rely on mentors and a sponsor. I am not your God. Neither is your sponsor your God, and neither is my sponsor my God. God reliance, network reliance, sponsor reliance. That's my order. That's how I'm functioning in this deal. That's because if I'm relying on this human, humans fail me, by the way, all the time. Humans are humans. We do human things. God reliance, number one, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Literally. Pray about it first. Let's talk about it. Sometimes I don't have time to talk and have intimate, lengthy conversations. I deal with a lot of people. So I may at times get you to the point. That's okay too. If your sponsor needs to get you to the point because they have a life and God has blessed them with that life, okay, don't get butthurt. Get a network. These people ain't God. They're people trying to take us through these steps, get us hooked up to a power that keeps us well, not they're the power that keeps us well. In the beginning, if that's what you got is to call this and that's as much as you got, do that. Run that. Run that. Run that. If it's working, do it. If it's working, do it. I had to rely on a power greater than me because it ain't humans. The network, the people, y'all are part of it. And there's God in you, and I gotta have you, but I gotta have this thing above that that's working through you as well.
So, a couple other things. It says, like, I don't know, Elric can probably tell you the number of times it says it, but. If he does not want to stop drinking, do not waste your time trying to persuade him. You may spoil a later opportunity. This advice is given for his family also. They should be patient, realizing they are dealing with a sick person. So, and it goes on to continue to say different things along those ways in different words. Somebody's not willing. Somebody doesn't want to, you know, if they don't want to stop or they're not willing to do what you're asking them to do, there's someone else out there that needs your time and energy more than that person, right? So you move on. And that's not to say that you don't pick up the phone if they call and they change their mind, their ideas shift, their perception changes, they're in pain, they want more help, blah, 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 blah. But if they do not want help, you move on. That's it. It says that plain and simple. And what I'm about to say is my personal opinion. And it doesn't give any definite amount of time in the big book. It does use a lot of words like right after you finish your on page 63, right after you do your third step prayer. It says, "Next, we launched out on a course of vigorous action." That doesn't sound like sit on your ass and meet a new girlfriend. Doesn't sound like take your time. It doesn't sound like, you know, any of those opportunities. I personally like to take my sponsees through the work and have them working with other sponsees in 60 days. That is my belief. That is what I believe should be done. I think Brandon shares a similar belief. Maybe not.
At times, depending on who it is. Yes.
So yeah. Someone that has no experience with the big book, somebody that has... that is in, say, SML or Cornerstone or Agape, whatever. They're in structured living, 60 days. If they're living at their mom's house and they can't afford it, I will try my best to get them through sooner than that. Because at the end of the day, we're dealing with a progressive illness that only gets worse. And it can kill you. So why am I going to wait 90 meetings in 90 days, or work a step a month, work this, work that. Why do I want to, if I have, and this is probably one of the most overused explanations, but it's, I hadn't found a better one yet. If I have cancer, and I know that I can go into this office and receive a cure for my cancer, and I need 12 shots to get well, I'm not going to wait one shot a month. I'm not going to wait 90 meetings in 90 days. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get the fucking cure. And I'm going to get well, and I'm going to start helping other people. Like, we need agents. Mm. Agents of God. We need those. We need you.
Yeah.
We desperately need every person in this room to help us. We need all of you, because there are people that are continuously dying. There are people that, good people, that are continuously dying, that we go to funerals, and we see their families. Some of them are a case of they weren't willing to do all the work, but some of them where they never heard the solution, I believe. And I feel like we're responsible to some extent, because there's a lot of fellowships that if you're not from around here, you'll go back to and you'll sit in meetings and you won't hear what you've heard here this weekend. You'll hear, "Meeting makers make it. Go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Call your sponsor every day and make sure that you're..." Just all this shit that I personally believe is responsible for hurting people.
Read working with others. I would, if we in a different setting, or you know, if we were going to grind this out, there's so much good stuff and so many prompts, and they tell us some main points as we're working with folks. But I want to share two things that I picked up from Fellowship of the Spirit, and it was from the Raymer brothers. And they, I forget who said this first one. The second one is Dr. Bob. One of my chief responsibilities, it says, I'm to be an adequate, I'm supposed to give an adequate presentation of the program to the newcomer. So I'm going to give an adequate presentation. That means I'm going to do my due diligence and do the best I can to like study and learn this stuff and share my experience. The experience is the experience of the experience, of course. Experiencing this work is going to be better than the knowledge of it. You know, the experience of the experience, that's what we need. But I listen to speaker tapes, and I continually dissect this stuff so I can better give an adequate presentation of what we're trying to accomplish here. Dive into speaker tapes. Man, they're everywhere. Chris Raymer, Mark Houston, Tarek, who was here, Brandon P., Scott L. from Tennessee. Bob D. Like, there's so many people out there that we can listen to gain a deeper understanding and then apply this in my own life. But so much stuff I've learned from listening to speakers and doing things like this and being engaged. The other thing, this, when I heard this, when Chris Raymer, or the one of them said it, I was like, oh my God, Dr. Bob said it. And it blew me away. It said, carry the message, and if you must, use words. Oh my God. That means my feet need to be doing a lot of my talking, man. Them feet need to be lining up. What, the tongues in my shoe need to match the tongue in my mouth? Somebody told me, I was like,
I told you that.
Yeah. Miles says he told me that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that shit.
It's too good.
It's
too good.
Carry the message, and if you must, use words, man. I want the guys I work with to see the action, to see me live in this program and not just hear me talk about it, man. Because that means more than anything else. I fall short, but I sure do. I really try to make an effort to live what I talk. And that means more than anything to people. People watch, man. People are watching. They're watching. If they're working with me, they're watching. Like, if they're working with you, they're going to watch you. They're going to watch your action. Are you going to come to the new cat? Are you picking up trash? You tell me to pick up trash. Are you picking up trash? Like, yeah, I better be picking up trash. Or at least trying. Like, if I want you to do it, I better be right there shoulder to shoulder with you. So, that, I just thought that was the coolest thing. And I'll turn it over to Miles. But
so, a couple more things. We got about
now
7 minutes. Yeah. Never talk down to any alcoholic from any moral or spiritual hilltop. Simply lay out the kit of spiritual tools for his inspection. Show him how they worked with you. Offer him fellowship and friendship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. We have, this is skipping lines. We have no monopoly on God. We merely have approach that worked for us. I tried a lot of different approaches. I tried medically assisted treatment. I tried geographical change that we heard Hallie explain in masterly detail. We had a girlfriend. No girlfriend. I got to get out of Carrollton. I mean, that's terrible for me. I think I tried. I'm sure I'm leaving. A new car, new clothes, new all this shit. None of that shit worked.
Apartment.
New.
You got a new apartment.
Got to get out of this place called SML and get a new apartment. This shit's going to work for me.
Failed.
Mom, please. New car, new apartment, I'll be good. And then it tells me on page 98, job or no job, wife or no wife, we simply do not stop drinking as long as we place dependence on other people ahead of dependence on God. Tarek said yesterday, one of the worst things that he hates hearing from a sponsee is, I met a girl. Right? One of the worst things that I hate hearing is, is, I can't do this unless. 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 Everything after unless or but is bullshit. Because you can get well with or without anything in your life. Often, the less you got, the better chance you
Absolutely.
Got. But that's not to say, you know, you can't get well if you still have shit. If you still got your car, you can still get sober. You just have to experience that incomprehensible demoralization that we all love so much. There was one more thing. You got anything? Oh, I wanted to read these promises. This is another set of 12-step promises.
That'll work,
okay. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances.
Hell yeah. So that's it for us in the 12th step. Woo. Yeah, woo! Hell yeah! Yeah, you can kill that. One of